This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR.
Hello everyone, you're with Rachel DeRay, taking you around the edge. Well, actually, I've been round the edge and roped in some people from Waituna West School. Welcome, Principal Anita.
Hi.
Hi. And Jonty, a student.
Hello.
Thank you. And Kerwin.
Hi.
And what role do you play, Kerwin? You're a long-time...
I'm just a long-time resident of
the area. Resident. Not just that, but you actually got a long history with Waituna West.
Yeah, we have, yes. My grandfather first entered the greater area in 1886, and they bought into the direct Waituna West area in 1894.
Well, there we are. Well, that means you really know the area and you would have seen the school change and develop.
Well, I wasn't there then, but yes, certainly in my time it's changed and developed.
Yes.
We went from two buildings in my day to what are we now, four
classrooms, yes.
Plus the play centre, so it's the fifth. Yeah, big developments, really.
Yes. Yep. I think that our demographic has changed for the whole area, hasn't it?
Well, I suppose it has. It calls on a greater area nowadays. There are a number of small schools in the wider area that closed down and have been amalgamated into Waituna. So, what, there are four others?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Yep. Yes, because Cheltenham School closed.
Yeah, Cheltenham doesn't actually come into Waituna so much. We've got
Pākehkura,
Tapuai, Rewa and Denali
schools
that directly came into Waituna.
Right. All right, so we're here today to talk about an historical, remarking a point in history. Was it 150 years or something?
125.
125 years for Waituna West. And as the point you just made, there have been so many rural schools closing down. So what is it about Waituna West School that has kept it thriving? Not only, I mean, it's a lovely school with a lot of things going on. Why has Waituna West survived and thrived when so many others have folded up?
So I believe it's the people and the relationships that we've got out there. The community are incredibly supportive of the school. It's a real passion for people in the area. They have a sense of ownership over it and guardianship of it for the future. So people are always down there when we've got working bees or fundraising events at school. People are just there supporting it. So I think the relationships in the community are a really key part of why the school's doing so well.
And I think the thing about the relationship with the community has a lot to do with the leadership of the school as well. And you've had some really great principals.
Very much so.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky, the community, with the standard of teaching in the local school. Very lucky.
Yes. I knew Waituna West, well, I suppose about 15 years ago when I was working on the paper, I suppose. I came and went and did a couple of things. Noticed that you talk about fundraising, Anita. The fundraising seems to be quite regular. And the other thing is you have a very good newsletter. That's how I found out about your celebration because I live in the valley, in the Beaconsfield Valley.
Oh, do you?
So there was one put in our letterbox, and I always read them to see what's going on. And you've got a classified advertisement section which shows it's being supported because those things aren't cheap to print. And that's actually a really – I see newsletters like that as a sort of a publicity thing that keeps the community connected.
Yeah, as someone who doesn't have children at the school, although we now have grandchildren there this year, the newsletter was very important for us too to keep abreast of what's going on in the local community. So, yeah.
And there seem to have been a number of people who have been former pupils – I could be wrong, but I get the impression from the fundraising events that you've had that sometimes there are people who have a fondness for Waituna West coming back to help out with events and gigs and fun things that you do for fundraising.
Absolutely, yeah, and our local and current families are exactly the same. They'll just dedicate their time and support to everything.
So. Well, that brings me to you, John T. Your father is a former student from Waituna yep. West, but you were born in
Timaru.
What a big change for you.
Yeah. I moved up here when I was 4.
Right.
And then went to Waituna since then.
Right. And you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's great fun.
What do you like most about it?
Oh, just the things we do and support and everything. Just it's great fun and learn about a lot of things.
Right.
It's brilliant, yeah.
And you have a sort of eco stuff going on?
Yeah.
You do. What do you call that these days? Environment, Enviro School. Is Waituna West one of the Enviro Schools?
No. We used to be, but we haven't been in recent years. We do a lot of environmental sustainability education, though.
Still have
the principles of it operating in the school.
Yes. Oh, still, operating by those principles. That's a good thing. So, are you involved? Are the students involved in the celebrations for the 120 years, Jonty?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
How are the students involved?
They are going to be attending on the Saturday, and we've got roll calls and school songs and singing that are going to happen. That's only just been decided, the students' role in the celebrations.
So actually this interview is taking place before all the whole thing's mapped out.
Mm. It's in the process of
work
being
in
mapped
progress.
Out. Yeah, yeah. Mm. As it's not till the end of February, we've got a wee while to sort things out.
And are you all going to dress up in period costume?
No, that hasn't been discussed. No, we are thinking that we'll be just going, and our children now all wear uniform. We've got uniform in the school, so they'll all be wearing that on the day anyway.
Oh, yes, look at that. Mm. So you are. I just thought you looked rather smart, but there we have a wonderful logo, WW Waituna West. Brilliant. So you'll be just, there won't be the, you know, it's quite typical, isn't it, to have period costume celebrating the thing.
I think Kewin will be able to talk more about that at the 100-year jubilee. That was...
Yeah, we did a bit of that at the centennial celebration in 1994. We had a big parade and lots of period dress and, but I think the 125th isn't going to be a celebration and quite to the same extent. We'll leave that for perhaps the 150th or something.
Right, but you are going to have some fun things going on.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Absolutely. They've got community cocktail functions on the Friday night for adults to come and meet and greet and say hello to everybody. The children will all be involved on Saturday morning, and we're going to have our senior students showing people around the school because it potentially has changed quite a lot since others were there. That afternoon we have some sports games that will hopefully go ahead where past students will play each other, so that should be quite humorous, I would imagine, and then a rather large dinner and get together that night, and then we've got church the next day on Sunday and a barbecue lunch for everyone to say farewell. So it's quite a big weekend with a lot going on.
So how many people do you expect to have attending?
Well,
in the way
good
of
question, forming. Very good question. Yeah, I do know that the Facebook page, which is Waituna West 125th Jubilee, I think is the heading, has 460 odd followers. But there are not many registrations so far.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you find that people register in a great rush in the last few weeks, or? They do?
Don't know.
What we're anticipating.
We're hoping. Mm. Hopeful, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So people come from all over, I expect, to attend these things.
Yeah, well, I was talking to my sister yesterday who lives in Australia who's thinking of coming over, so, yeah.
Mm. Oh, that's good. That's good. So what are some of the distinct changes that you've seen, Kerwin, when it comes to Waituna West School itself?
Quite apart from the obvious things like the teaching systems are completely different. As I said, back in my day, there were only two classrooms, and it was basically wide open spaces. It's now very well developed. It's got four classrooms. Yeah, completely different. Different. It's unrecognisable, almost. Mm.
So, what are you the chairperson of the?
Me, no. Just a ring-in.
Are you just a ring-in?
Hell yes.
For the interview.
Pretty much. I got dumped on.
You got dumped on. I wonderful. I love that kind of thing. It's so much more fun than. Yes. Good.
I'm the elder advisor in the Jubilee Committee, I think.
Elder advisor? Oh, my goodness.
I'm not that old, I might add.
No.
Some people like Jondi here might beg to differ, but.
All right. Okay, so are you going to have any of the display material that you may have had at the centenary up?
Absolutely. So we've currently got some of our locals working on setting up I guess the best term is a mini museum at school of old artifacts and photographs and things that are being collated amongst all previous, you know, school people, as well as the schools that have closed. We're trying to get some pieces from there as well.
Right.
Just random things that people might have at home. So
that's such a nice idea. What sort of things have you got?
So far, we've got a lot of photographs, an awful lot of photographs, a few old awards. The school won the New Zealand Post Banking Award in the 1980s, so we've got that one sitting there. Just a few random bits and pieces that are around, and, yeah, we're trying to get a few things from the local Waituna West area as well, the actual community itself.
Well, what about artefacts like a strap?
I haven't found any of those.
I don't know that we have the old strap. I've felt it
back
in the day, but no.
And what about some of the things that we used in the playground? I don't mean jungle gyms, but things like hoops or
there isn't
playground.
Actually that leather, much there.
Leather basketballs.
No, yes. Schools tend to keep things moving through them because there's limited storage in country schools. You've only got so much room, but we've got some bits and pieces. A few wee surprises to pull out. So.
Oh, that's good. Mm. So, I mean, would this be a good time to ask people to consider lending items?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. What sort of things do you think they ought to have?
Well, anything, really, that pertains to the district over the years.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yep. So it can be anything, really. Preferably not too big, so
we
have limited space and that we can show it.
Yes.
But, yeah.
So blackboards, pointers, slates.
Even non-educational related, we've talked about just getting actual artifacts from the district, so church bells, those sorts of things, bits and pieces.
And what about those amazing square milking buckets? Milking buckets.
That'd be fantastic.
And that's another
thing. You never know,
In the old days, wouldn't they have had paddocks for students who had to ride a horse along?
Yes, they did have a horse paddock. But the horse paddock is currently the car park for the local play centre.
There should be a sign up. This was once the horse paddock.
Yeah, well, it's also got the maypole in it.
It does, that area in there.
Yeah.
Do you still do country dancing and things like that?
Sometimes.
You'd really do? Oh, that's heartening to hear. And so do you do the maypole things and all that?
Not really. Not on the main pole, no.
Yeah, it's very complicated. I always seem to go the wrong way and they threw me out. Because there's a system to it that everyone's supposed to understand. I never know. I can never figure out how do people understand what's not understandable. School was great confusion for me. Is it confusing for you, John T?
Sometimes. Not really, though. I get most of it.
Oh, that's good. Very, very good. All right. So You've been in the role for 2 years, mm-hmm. you said. So coming up to 125 years and being part of a celebration, are you bearing the brunt of organising, or have you got a lot of willing helpers who are doing all this and driving it?
As I said, one of the strengths of Waituna West is that huge level of support. So there's a big team of people sitting behind the scenes as well that are working together. The actual Jubilee Committee has been formed, so that's got both parents and wider community members on it to make sure we get a good balance. It's that team of people that I'm part of that are working to get the structure, I guess, of the weekend set up. And then we've got other teams of people working on the magazines and pulling together all of the information. So a huge number behind the scenes doing it. It's certainly not all being put onto any one person. So.
How fantastic. Mm. That's a real testimony to the strength of the community up there. How wonderful.
Mm, absolutely.
So, and you're involved with it in what capacity? As you say, you're a ring-in, but what do you do? Or is this too hard?
Well, yeah, I don't have a specific job. I was actually on a centennial celebration committee. In terms of the current 125th Jubilee, really I just sit in and add little bits as I remember them.
Mm. As elder advisor.
I'm really only there as an advisor, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Get given jobs, certainly, yeah.
Yes. Well, that's good. Well,
I find it pays to make sure you're at the meetings and then you don't get these little jobs that sneak up on you like this one.
Oh, now. So what are you looking forward to, John T, with these celebrations? Tell me you're looking forward to it, are you?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. So what part are you going to be looking forward to most?
Just getting together and celebrating, really.
You like celebrations, is that it?
Yeah.
So you've mentioned, Anita, the things that adults are going to be enjoying. What have you got lined up for the students to enjoy?
So they're mostly there on the Saturday session. So yes. They've got the we're actually using them as ambassadors for the school. Jonty will actually be coming back as an adult, really, because he will be off to high school next year. So won't be a current student of the school, but still very important to us. So the students are going to be showing people around. We've got a few of the old-fashioned games on for our little children to play with people, so games like Duck Duck Goose and Hula Hooping and bits and pieces like that. So there's a wee bit on for them there. They've got a nice picnic lunch out on the field, and then they'll participate and join in with the sports in the afternoon as well. And then most of them will probably come back for the church and lunch again on the Sunday as well.
That's something we didn't cover, was the range of ages that Waituna West caters for. It's right up to high school.
Yes, so we've got year 0 to year 8, so 5-year-olds through to 13-year-olds at school.
And, of course, you've got the play centre beforehand, so people who come to Waituna West, they are basically there from the age of 4, is it, or 3?
Oh, no, earlier than that. Really.
Earlier than that. Yeah, and it's really within the same type of complex.
It's a very easy transition for the young children into the bigger school, because they've seen what's going on through the window. It's literally on the edge of the playground, and all their elder siblings are at the school anyway, in a lot of cases. So, yeah, it's tremendous.
It's just a matter of the excitement of wearing the uniform to, you know, being admitted to the first class. How
pretty
exciting.
Much, I think.
Yeah. And what school are you going to next year, Jonty?
I'm going to Palmy Boys High.
Ah!
Yeah.
Right, it's a long way to come.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Going to College House.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right, you're looking forward to that?
Yep.
Ah.
I am.
And it sounds as if you're going to be prepared to.
Yeah, I am actually.
Very good, very good. So, with your games and things, I suppose they're not allowed to play Bulrush anymore. That's an old-fashioned game.
We still play. There's just a few rules around tackle. We're quite big on keeping the, I guess, the rural country feeling alive. Our children are allowed to climb trees and actually be children and enjoy themselves. So we just encourage them to think about their safety and look out for each other as well, which is a great part of being a small country school. They do watch out for each other.
That's a point about the feeling in the community there. I was listening to RNZ, was it this morning, about they're going to make bullying illegal, generally. So I'm thinking if the community is as supportive and as tight as you say, I guess the safety of students is something that the community take on. So perhaps where is bullying on the radar as far as Waituna West school goes?
I certainly don't see it. I've been in big town schools and seen it quite intense, and I don't see it at all out there. So they really genuinely care for each other and look after each other.
That's the point I'm trying
to
make.
It's like a big family, the school, the children. Yeah, one big happy family.
Has it been always like that, do you think?
Pretty well, really, for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it necessarily was when I was at school, but certainly in from the time I came back home, which would have been in the early, about 1980, from there on, yeah, I think it has been very marked that it's just one big family. Yeah.
Well, in the old days, of course, the communities probably didn't meet terribly regularly together because they had work to do, but they did a lot of sharing and looking after, helping one another, didn't they? The rural
Certainly.
Communities.
Still do.
So, yes, this is really just a legacy of that, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing.
I think so. I don't know. Certainly it's changed. I'm not saying that we weren't one big family as when I was at school there, but I don't recall it being in quite the same way that it's been for my children and certainly grandchildren now. Yeah.
So do you have any information about your grandparents and the early years of your families being at Waituna West and the school?
Yeah, well... It's curious. While my grandfather bought the farm in 1894, he actually lived at Cheltenham. So my father went to Cheltenham's primary school. And he and my mother moved up in the very early 1950s. And so the my family has been in the district since then. So my sisters and brother were the first of our family to go to Waituna. There have been other Hares there during the time, but my direct family has only been there since the early 1950s.
So you would have been familiar with some of the educational changes that have taken place. It's been quite drastic changes in education.
Well, I suppose. It was all about the 3 hours when I was at school, like strictly. A bit of social science, I suppose. It's a long time ago now. I don't really remember that well. But it's certainly a big change nowadays.
Yes.
Completely different.
And what about from your perspective, Anita, today's curriculum at Waituna West, what are you able to get in?
So the curriculum is becoming a lot more community-focused by nature anyway. The ministry have been pushing quite hard over pretty much my entire teaching career, actually, to encourage localised curriculum. So getting your own things going. Your school, Jonty's mum actually comes down and runs beehives at our school, and the children have got their own business with bee wraps and honey and learn how to be proper apiarists, I believe is the right word there for that.
Yes.
So we've got quite a strong localised curriculum in there, but the current push with the new technologies as well is around design thinking methods. So children starting to solve real world problems in their own communities through their education at school, which is quite exciting for all of us because I feel like like rural country schools like Waituna West are particularly in a position where they can make that happen very easily and have an amazing opportunity for our children to learn. So,
yeah. Ah, yes, that's, I did not know that about the localised community sort of emphasis in the curriculum.
Yeah, definitely. So we have just so much going on out there because of that. We've got mums that come down and do cooking at lunchtime with our children. We've got children that run robotics clubs. So we're not just the old school things either. We've got a lot of the new stuff. We've got gardening groups, and the children are just about to do a giant pumpkin raising competition for a autumn festival next year. So just a great mix of new and old, I think.
Right, and do you do social studies, what we used to call social studies in the old days, but that would encompass things about history, New Zealand history?
Absolutely. So it's more integrated curriculum now. We pull all of it together, the science and social studies, but next year in Term 1, the teachers have all got a big focus on the local history, just because the Jubilee's there, so...
Well, that's an interesting thing too. Do you, have you found out how the land was acquired for the school? Is there any information about that?
No, I've come across.
That's an interesting thing to look at.
No. I think when the area was surveyed, there was land set aside for school reserve, I think is how it worked. Yeah, so it's essentially education board...
Right.
Land.
I think it was varied from place to place.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure ours was never privately owned and donated.
Right. Mm.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on NPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for NPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
So when you start covering that, you start looking at the surveying of the initial land and what the land may have looked like. And
We'll look right back into the past, especially stories through local people. We're hoping to be able to collect a lot over the actual Jubilee weekend as well that children will be able to use as part of their learning. The local cemetery will be a huge amount of knowledge for us as well. There's Anzac soldiers down there and things that the children have already been involved in with the RSA to restore the grave sites down there for them. So.
Oh, nice. And have you been down to the cemetery to look at the gravestones?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Have you found it interesting?
Yeah, it is actually.
Is it?
Pretty interesting.
And what sort of names are there that you notice? Are there different nationalities?
There's a few, I think.
Mm. Mm. What are some of the names that stand out for you that you remember?
I can't really remember.
That's all right. Do you have are there tombstones there that describe how the person died?
No,
not so much. But that's actually created a lot of questions for a lot of them anyway. There was quite a few younger people that passed away in the early 1900s that a lot of the children are now asking why did that happen. So there'll be a bit that'll come out of that, I think.
Yes, that's social history, of course, because there was, I think, around that time, a lot of diphtheria and other diseases.
Yeah. Spanish flu came along.
There was influenza, that's right, in the early 20s, wasn't it? Or just after the
just
First
after
World
the
War?
Just after the First War, yeah.
Did it affect people down this way as well?
Couldn't comment, no, I don't know.
That'd be interesting to find out, because it is quite bewildering and curious how many young people died in those old days from different diseases. Yes, definitely. I think graveyards are fascinating.
Can be very sad.
And sad, indeed.
You see a lot of younger children and their gravestones. Actually, there are, I know there are a number of unmarked graves in the Waituna Cemetery that I believe were younger people.
Right.
But yeah. All that history's gone, though, really.
Yes, I suppose, unless there are diarists that have mentioned it somewhere. And perhaps, too, some of the early, I know in Helensville, where I lived there, there was a section where they had had old wooden markers and even quite nicely carved bits that had gone rotten because they were made from wood. So, of course, when they go, unless someone's taking care of it, it may look like an unmarked grave.
Yeah. Most of the gravestones at Waituna are in quite good repair. There are some that are a little hard to make out, but...
So, just think... I'm sorry to push this, just so interesting. The gravestones, what names do you...
Well, a lot of old district history, family names. Quite a number of the families are still within the district. It is interesting.
It is. And are they all from the British Isles, or are there other names
all together, but a lot are, because a lot of the Waituna families are of English origin anyway.
Right.
But not totally.
No. Mm. Well, we have to grab all these histories while we can.
Certainly.
Absolutely. Mm.
So what else have you got going up in Waituna West at the moment in terms of interest groups, or, you know, have you got a little art club, or what kinds of clubs and interesting things have you got going?
There's actually an awful lot going on out there at the moment. So the Arua schools, the four schools in the region from Apiti, Kimbolton, Kuatea and ourselves, there's a group of really dedicated mums, again, Jonty's mum's one of them, who have set up the Arua Sports Club so that our children have all got better access and more equitable access to sports, so it's not costing them as much and they get good coaching and I guess enough to make teams, whereas the individual schools and communities themselves might not quite have enough for different levels. So that's really exciting for the children.
Does that mean that they go on a bus or something to play some of the other schools? Mm-hmm. Do you do that, Jonty?
Not busing. We, as I said, we've got incredibly dedicated people.
So families just take their motor cars.
Absolutely. Sports is huge for the entire district, actually. So so there's the sports going on. There's lots of smaller groups that just exist within friend groups. There's book clubs and bits and pieces for adults. And so it's quite an exciting wee community, actually. The whole committee's really passionate about what they do, and they have a community barbecue every year in December to get together and other bits and pieces, the old rugby game down at the hall, so it's great.
I feel as if I'm missing out. I'm 10 minutes away, I think. You know, and I go to do things in Fielding and here in Palmerston North.
But a lot of Waituna families do too, of course, because, yeah, well, that's one of the big changes since I was a boy, of course, is the ability to get to Fielding in quite a short period of time nowadays, comparison to what it used to be.
Mm. Oh, yes, and the roads.
Oh, the roads are a lot better too. Yeah, our little side road, which the school's on, I remember being sealed when I was about five, I suppose.
Right.
Big excitement.
Big excitement on the road being sealed. So before that it was just...
just a gravel road.
Gravel if you were lucky, I suppose.
Oh, no, it was a gravel road.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yes, I live on a gravel road too. Mm. And it's,
do you?
Yes.
Are you that far up the valley?
Yes, I'm that far up. Oh, yes. Yes.
I have to have a talk to you because my son lives down in the valley as well.
Oh, does he? Mm. I know that if I went up, I call it the goat track, but it's got a name.
Yeah, the Beaconsfield Valley.
No, not that one.
Beaconsfield Hill Road.
Is that what it is? Goes up to Waituna West. Mm. And it's like a goat track.
Mm. Well, yeah, I went up this morning.
Did you?
And down.
It gives me the willies. I when the bridge was down during 2004 flood, and I had to work, was working in Fielding, so I had to drive right around and come back down that hill to get to my place.
Right.
Because the bridge, you know, the bridge on
yeah,
the...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, actually, I have a farm right there.
Do you know?
Both sides of the river, right there.
Is that you then?
Mm.
Hello.
Small world.
Yes, it's dangerously small. Mm-hmm.
Well, right. Curiously enough, actually, back in 1886, when my grandfather came out to England, he came out to that farm to work as a farm cadet. And in those days, you bought a cadetship. And he came out with his older brother from England on the understanding that they were going to learn how to farm. In fact, when they got there, they found that they were going to be cutting the farm out of the bush for the landholder, not learn how to farm at all. So after a few months, they went their separate ways. Mm.
That happened a lot in the early days where people were promised something and paid money for it and got here and realised there was no house, there was just bush, and you're given an axe and you're expected to make the best of it. Can you imagine
Well,
Loa
Waituna, and back in 1894 when the Or 95 when the 94 when the school was 94 no 95 when the school was open because it's 2020 the whole of the area was still in heavy bush.
And what kinds of trees dominated? Was it totara or
is totara a lot of the lowland bush around home was tawa, but there's Yeah, there's totara, rewa rewa, rimu, kaikatea, there's all sorts.
Mm.
Yeah. Plus the smaller trees, of course.
Different regions have different vegetative characteristics.
Mm. Yeah.
So the planting area, Jonty, that you were telling me about, at the used to be the back of the school there, and you said that it's really coming on. What kinds of trees were planted there?
Not too sure what they're called, but
there's a lot of kowhai there.
Oh, there was kowhai along the fence, wasn't there?
Yeah, they were.
They've to be cut
still
down,
there, aren't they?
I think they are, and amongst all of the other bits and pieces that
they
were beside the memorial gate.
They were. I remember that. The first
Presumably
time I went
they
there,
still are, aren't they?
It was all bright yellow right along the fence line.
Well, there's a couple of them still there by the memorial gate pieces.
So there's kowhai, and what else is there?
Well, I think there's a type of rata.
Probably. Yeah, I think
say so.
They were pretty much... Everything that was planted was what you would find in the local bush anyway.
Right, good, yes. Oh, well, I must come up and have a look and see how it's all going. Because I can't remember the principal's name back then, before Glenn.
Marty Hance.
Doesn't ring a bell, but that's right.
Rex Wheeler.
Rex Wheeler used to be at Manchester Street, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was at Waituna before that.
Was he?
Mm.
Oh, no, Rex was at Manchester Street.
Rex was the principal at when the centennial celebration was on.
No, that was a bit before I came to the valley. I was living in Whanganui at the time. Rex, lovely guy, is Rex. So, Anita... Tell me some more about the preparation and what you think people listening to this may be able to do to help. And also, people who perhaps didn't come to Waituna West School, they didn't go, they're not former pupils, but would like to actually look at Waituna West as a model for how a community and a school can, in a partnership, can create a thriving school that people like Jonty will... be proud to say they went there.
Oh, we're always happy to have visitors out at Waituna West. We're a real open door policy, so anyone that wants to come and visit and have a chat, more than welcome. Put on some great rural hospitality. You'll get a lovely cup of tea or coffee and some bickies if you're lucky. So, we're more than happy for people to come and have a talk and come down and visit the school and come and say hello. We've had people stopping in, ex-students or people that used to live in the area since the Jubilee's been advertised out there, just dropping in to say hello and to see what it's like. So that's been quite exciting as well. And you're asking about what people can do to help. So, we have plenty of help at the moment, lots of workers behind the scenes. But any stories that people have got to share from the local area that they'd love to just pass on, even funny little anecdotal things that they can recall from school or the community, if they'd like to just give us a ring and pop down and share those, we'd love to hear them. Or the actual artifacts and objects from the area would be great too.
And one mustn't underestimate an anecdote.
No.
Anecdotes are fantastic. They're actually the bones of social history.
Very much so.
And so anecdotes is bring them on.
Absolutely.
Even better if they write them down.
I was going to say that. So, yeah. Back in the days of the centennial, I edited the Waituna Centennial magazine, and some of the best bits that we got were past pupils writing anecdotes down and sending them in. It was very useful information.
Exactly.
And if it's written down, it's kept forever.
Exactly.
But word of mouth gets forgotten and lost.
And indeed, and people get older and, you know, it drops off, it drops away. But that's the thing with anecdotes. People think, oh, well, it's not fact, it's only anecdote. No. Anecdotes are precious, absolutely precious.
And you do have to be careful with it.
Oh, yes.
And check it as much as you can because, yeah, once it's written down, it's regarded as fact. So.
Yes, but people who are fixated on facts alone end up missing out on the real juice that makes the facts make sense. So anecdotes connect things. Don't they? So,
Show perspective. And we're hoping to actually be able to collect them all through voice, so actually recording them and keeping them in digital format for years to come. It'll act like a bit of a library, I suppose, for our children.
Oh, what a wonderful idea.
That's the plan.
Oh, that's marvellous. That's a project in itself.
It is.
So who's in charge of that?
Me.
Oh, hello.
that'll be done through school.
Oh, how thrilling.
Yeah.
That's a marvellous thing. So people could email you and say, I've got anecdotes, and probably jot them down, and you pick up the juiciest and say, would you like to come for an interview and record them?
Or we'll take the children to them if it's possible.
Oh, you won't be here because you'll be in Palmerston North. Getting on to a whole different – well, you can do it in the weekend. Oh, no, you'll probably be doing homework.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I would say life's probably going to get quite serious.
Yeah.
So you're going to enjoy the Jubilee anyway, aren't you?
Of course.
So you'll be part of it.
Yeah.
Very good. So I think your project of gathering anecdotes is terribly exciting.
I think the Jubilee will kick it off as well because people will be at the school and thinking about their time there and their thoughts and feelings. We have put feelers out in the newsletters, but we've only had one or two come back so far to say. But I think once they're in the moment and they're feeling it, it'll be a bit different. So
what you need, actually, is a small team of scribes at the cocktail party particularly, anywhere where there's something to drink. Even a cup of tea can bring it on. And ask people to, there they are, I can imagine them with a pen and paper or a recorder, and they mingle and they hear someone say, oh, remember, they zero in like a fly to something unmentionable and tell stories, and it's all recorded. I can see it now. Oh, you'll have to get people to do it.
Oh, it'll be exciting. That is the plan.
It's very thrilling. So have you got scribes?
Not as yet. It'll probably be the teachers, I would imagine. The staff at school will...
But wait, they'll be wanting to have cocktails. To have someone who's not going to want to let their head on.
They're quite dedicated teachers, actually. They'll probably be wanting to learn and talk and socialise. So, yeah, I imagine that they'd be just the right people to be doing it. We'll all be out there anyway. So.
And as you say, the Jubilee is going to kick that project off. So in another 25 years, you'll have a book out. Another book out.
Volume 2.
Oh, so where's volume 1?
You can't get it anymore. It's out of production.
So at some stage, a book about Waituna West School or the district was produced?
School and district.
Okay. And it's out of print. And have you got a copy at the school?
Yes. Yes, we've actually got the originals from Kewin, the original big typesets on A2 paper.
Oh, my.
It's quite exciting.
So actually, if anyone's listening to this and they happen to have one, and every time they dust their bookshelves, they think, what shall I do with that? They could actually bring it along or send it to you.
Well, if they'd like.
Mm. Well, you never know.
Yeah, if they don't want it, I know a lot of people who do want them.
Oh, there you go.
And so can't get them.
Yeah, there's a lot of people asking.
Mm. Hen's teeth.
They are. Yep.
Here's a call for hen's teeth. A book about Waituna West School and District. Yes, and so, quick, let's give the email address now while we think of it.
Oh, Anita. It's probably easier for all those sorts of things if they just use office@waitunawest.school.nz. Just makes it a bit simpler because that one will carry on. We do have a special email for the Jubilee, but once the Jubilee's finished, it'll
close. Go, so, yeah. So that's office@waitunawest, all one word?
Yes,
.school.nz. So contact Waituna West School at that email address. If you forget, because you didn't have a pen because when we just said it, I'll give you another address that you can also forget, rd@inspire.net.nz. That's my personal address, and I will flick it to Anita.
That'd be lovely.
Or something. So office@waitunawest.org. No, .school, that's right. Yes.
.nz.
Right, good. And you've got a Facebook page for the Jubilee.
We do, school website, so you can Google Waituna West and all the contact details are on there too.
Oh, there we go, that's simple,
too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So will you be giving updates about the project of the Jubilee as well?
Well, ideally it will live on that webpage because it's not my history, it's not the school's history, it's the district's history, and it belongs to the people, so that's where it should be, really.
Yes. Are you involved with that at all? Or are you the technology of administering the website for the Waituna West?
No. I'll keep away from that part.
You keep away from that part.
That one's me.
Yeah. Oh, that's you again.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So you're the support person, and I love that phrase, elder consultant or elder advisor.
Something like that.
Ah, that's a gas. I love it. I might use it one day. When I get a few more grey hairs, I might start. Saying
that I haven't got that many grey hairs. They might be there, but they're not there.
Yeah. That's the truth. Well, I'm sorry, I've just forgotten your other name.
Anita Phillips.
Anita Phillips. Thank you, Anita Phillips, principal of Waituna West School. A delight to have you. I've enjoyed this enormously. I hope you have.
Absolutely.
And Jonty?
Geeson.
Geeson. Ah, yes, there's a Geeson road down here, isn't there? In Fielding.
In Fielding there is, yeah.
Yeah, same family, I expect, is it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't find many of those around the world. And what part of the UK did that come from?
I'm not actually sure.
Oh, you should find out.
Well, Geeson's from Germany.
Oh, actually. From Germany.
Yeah.
Ah.
West Germany.
Right, okay.
Mm.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And Kerwin Hare.
That's right.
Thank you, elder advisor. Thank you so much for coming from Waituna West to be here today for Round the Edge. Thank you. I hope you've enjoyed it. So this is Rachel DeRay saying goodbye from me. See you next time. Bye.